Fourth chapter this morning, the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we're going to go back. We was in verse number 7, 8, and 9 last week, and we're going to go back to verse 8, and we're going to say a few things there and look on down and get further into the scriptures. I do thank God for His goodness, His mercy, His long-suffering, and I do thank God for all that He's doing, all that He's going to do in my life as well. Now Paul says, finally, notice there's a comma there, finally, brethren. He's talking to the saints. I always say that every time we hit that word brethren. If you don't know who the scripture's talking to, you can get in trouble. But he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Notice this, whatsoever things are true. And that word whatsoever is mentioned several times there. Whatsoever things are honest. Third thing, whatsoever things are just. Number four is whatsoever things are pure. Number five is whatsoever things are lovely. Number six is whatsoever things are of good report. Now he's talking about these things. He says, if you find anything associated with these words, he said, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. Now notice, he don't say in there, he does a little later down, don't say to do those things. He says, think on these things. Now that's what Paul's saying. Finally, brother, think on these things. Now, I want to come across that with this. In the last few weeks, we've been studying out of the book of Philippians. We've talked about the mind. If you want to go back and think about some of the Sunday school lessons we've had on it, he's talking about mind. The mind is what we think with. Are supposed to think with. And so we see these things, whatsoever things. And so we find today that he's saying, think on these things. Our mind has got to get in the right position. My attitude sometimes is not right because of the way I think. Amen. You remember what Paul said one time? They accused him of being a madman a time or two. You remember he spoke to one of them and they said something about you getting beside yourself, Paul, and he said, I think myself happy. Did you know you can do that? You can think yourself sad if you want to. And a lot of people are that way today in this business, what's going on around us. They're thinking about the worst, not looking at the best. They're so afraid that they're going to get this stuff, and they might. But how can you stop it other than just taking precautions like you do anything else? Some of these are not getting sick with that virus that's going around, something else pops up and gets them. And we have no control of that. Our life is to be committed into His hands. But we can think on these things. So let's go back and put that in here. In the Word of God, He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. So what are we going to do? We're going to think on things that are true. Amen. And the things that are true, the Bible said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you think on the Lord, it's true, isn't it? He says another place, the Word of God is true, it's real. David says it many times in the book of Psalms, thy word's true. And so we know you don't have to worry about it at all. The Word of God is pure, and it's going to tell that in a minute, but true, it's true. Thank God the Word of God will stand when everything else is gone and done. God is going to get the last word. His word is real, it's true. So think on these things. So what are we going to do? We're going to think on the Word of God in all this. We're going to think on the Word of God, and I look at it. And then he says something else, whatsoever things are honest. Now, the honest and true are right close together. Honest. There's a lot of things that, you know, you think about honesty and being honest and think on things that are honest. You don't want to hear a falsehood, do you? Right. Amen. You want to hear what's true. I think one of the problems we're having in America right now, anyhow, is everybody listening to everybody about everything. And one will tell them one thing and another will tell them another thing. And they believe this and when they hear it and believe that and over here when they hear that. And then they run up and down the road and can't get it all set in their mind what it is. So we've got to go to the Bible to find out what's right, true, and honest. And things that are honest, we're to think on them things that are honest. You find a habitual liar, or somebody's always a lying all the time and never tells the truth. You don't want to listen to them. You're not going to get the truth and get to be honest. And then he said, whatsoever things are just, that which is right, you know, just. Now, God is just. Would you believe that? Amen. You know that, don't you? God is just. If we get our just reward, we'd all be in hell, but I'm glad God is a merciful God in those respects. So we need to think on that which is just. And then he says that whatsoever things are pure. I'm not going to spend a long time on all these words, because if we did, we'd be here, we'd get stuck on the first one and wouldn't get nowhere. Whatsoever things are pure. You know what pure is? Nothing in it that's impure. Nothing. No impurities whatsoever. The Word of God is pure, is it not? There's no error. There's no contradictions. There's nothing. The Word of God is pure. Amen. You want to drink pure water? I don't want to drink contaminated water. Do you want pure food? Sure, you want pure food. Do you want the pure truth? Yes, you get it from the Word of God. It's pure. Pure means there's no infirmities, there's no abnormalities, there's nothing added to it, there's nothing that's wrong with it, it's right. And so we think on these things. When you're thinking on it, it all sums up this morning, it's going to be the Word of God. Whatsoever things are lovely. Amen. Old Song of Solomon talks about things that are lovely. Amen. All the way through the Song of Solomon. And so it's the Word of God. Whatsoever things are of good report. And the Word of God is of good report. We just wanted to mention that. He said, if there be any virtue, and that's more virtues, something's missing today. And we look at that. He said, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the right side of the track. Think on the right things. Not, if you don't, you'll get in the dumps. You'd put yourself in the... I've done that a lot of times. I thought, boy, if you're not, you'll be convinced. You can convince yourself that we're going through the worst time you've ever seen. I believe America is going through the worst time she's ever seen. Not ever seen, but seen in our day. People don't know how to handle it. Amen. You go to the grocery store, see how they've got all this stuff. What good is all that? Amen. They said there's not a shortage of all that, but people just camping in, staying in. And I'm telling you, instead of trusting God for it, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way if I possibly can. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to wash my hands and I'm going to stay away from all the stuff I can. And if I got somebody around me coughing and a sneezing and a snotting around, I'm going to move. I'm going to get out of their way. I'll let them have the territory. But anyhow, verse 9, and if I get that, I'm going to stay away from them too, by the way. Verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned. Now look, both learned and what? Received. There's two things there. Learned and received. Amen. There's things I've learned and there's things I've received. Matter of fact, if you don't learn them, you won't receive them. With those things I've learned, I've received. Those things which ye have both learned and received. And then the third one, and what? Heard. So now we look at that again. And learned and received and heard. And then number four, and seen me do. Now Paul's bringing himself into the equation here. He said those things you've learned, and a lot of them they learned from him. They received them from him. And they heard them from him. And then you've seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You remember looking at this, Paul was a persecutor in the beginning. He was a fellow who persecuted the saints of God. But God turned around and made a persecutor a preacher. And what he persecuted the saints of God, when he got saved by the grace of God, then the world began to persecute him. So he became, he was a persecutor who became a preacher that later became persecuted for his faith. And it turns around, comes back in the other direction, don't it? Can you see when he's standing persecuting and even standing when they stoned Stephen, there he was. And as he was guilty, he's guilty of murder, really, standing there holding the cloaks of those as they stoned Stephen to death, calling on the Lord. And so now God has made that persecutor a preacher, and now he's being persecuted. Nobody's ever been persecuted as much as the Apostle Paul, except the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked upon the face of the earth. Or at least, I don't know about them. God didn't record them. According to what I found how that Paul was persecuted in many ways. You read the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and you'll find out all the stuff that Paul went through. Shipwreck, and still the prayers of the church upon him, and all the needs of the people of God he had to take care of. But he said, if you'll take these things that you've both learned and received and heard and seen me do, he said, I'll tell you what will happen. The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Now, we won't get into that because we dealt with it last week. But the God of peace will be with you. Amen. God will give you peace. Isn't that wonderful to know that he does? Now look at verse number 10. This changes the subject just a little bit, but Paul said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now you remember what we said in verse 4, what Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was a spiritual man. He wasn't dead and dull and dry. Amen. I don't believe he was a monotone. I believe he had some what I call pizzazz in his speech. I believe he wasn't boring, except to those who didn't want to hear the truth. But I believe he excited some and blistered others. And I believe that he made a difference wherever he went. That's what I want to do, don't you? I want to make a difference in a man or woman's life that I come in contact with. But he said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Amen. Now, I don't know how big that greatly is, but I put that as pretty good size, don't you? But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. And he's talking about them taking care of him. Now, Paul, on the sideline, he was a preacher at work sometimes and had a public job and pastored two. And he made tents on the side to supplement his income. But the people of God took care of him, and these people at Philippi had taken care of him, and he's given them recognition. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't have all the resources. You lacked a little opportunity to do it, and so forth. And he's talking to him there, but we'll go on 10, 11, and 12. We want to hold together. And he said in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, that I want, for I have learned. Now this is a tremendous verse right here. That I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. If you take care of me now, I appreciate it. If you don't take care of me, I still appreciate you. Amen. Paul wasn't in the ministry for money. Paul wasn't in the ministry for personal gain. Our politicians seem to be that way. A lot of preachers seem to be that way. A lot of people, money talks. You've heard that before, haven't you? And the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And people do anything to sell out to stuff. And Paul said here, I've learned. Amen. He's learned down the road too. All of us learn. I've learned a lot of things too. I think I know more now than I did. I don't know all I need to know though. I'm still learning. And I study the Word of God. But Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state, whether I'm in turmoil, persecution, sickness, health, whatever I have, whatsoever state that God has placed me in, and I believe that's what he's getting at, God allows us and puts us there. I face things today that God allows me to face and sometimes has laid in front of me to face. Amen. Many times if he hadn't laid it in front of me, he's let the devil do it. But he does that for testings and trials. And Paul said, whatever state that I'm in, he said, I've learned this. Whatever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, I'm not. Now, if you're content, what's that mean? You won't gripe. You won't grumble and you won't complain. So most of us found out right quick now we're not content. Amen. Another place he said, be content with your wages. I don't know too many that's always content with their wages. They always wanting a raise, you know. Amen. Always wanting more. But we are thankful for what we have. Verse 12 said, I know both how to be abased, that means brought down to nothing, and I know how to abound. I know how God blesses. I've seen nothing and seen a lot. I've been blessed, and I've been, things have been taken from me. And so he said, everywhere and in all things, he said, in everywhere, or everywhere and in all things, everything. I don't believe Paul was just talking about a few things. I believe it's all of it. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Whatever state God allows you to be in, let's be comfortable with it. And let's be acceptable with it. In the state that we're in now, God has put us there. And he's going to give us grace to go through it, I'll guarantee you. I've never seen a time yet in all my years of serving God that he didn't give me grace and strength to go through it. Been a few times I wondered if he's going to do it. Been a few times I wondered where the extra grace is coming from. Been a few times I wondered if I could make it any further. But God has always been there. Amen. It's amazing just how few minutes can make a difference. You can call on the Lord and he can help you right there. Sometimes a different day. Today it looks like maybe that everything is going in a bad direction. Everything's turned upside down. The world's against you. But you get up in the morning, it's a brand new day. How many times in your life down through the years, and just think about this. How many times after a day's work or all the problems and the things that you face during the daytime, have you come home and sit down and all of a sudden you thought, what's the use of doing anything or going any further? And you had a bad outlook on life and you said, I don't want to go to bed because I have to get up in the morning and face all this again. And after you rest through the night and get up next morning, you don't even think nothing about what you thought. Why, I was looking at it different. You know, when you get tired, that's what happens. But Paul had come to the place, and I'm sure he was tired. You study those things that I said he went through in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I'll tell you right now, you go through all that, you want to know, what in the world am I doing in the ministry? I need to go build some tents and get some stuff done and get out from under all this load. And no doubt Paul was probably troubled with that. And maybe the devil had tempted him with it. And how's it going? But he said, the grace of God's took care of him. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And God had already promised him in, what is it, the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God had already said, whatever you do, and he also had the promises, I'll tell you what, I'll not put you in anything, I'll not put you under anything or bring any temptation to you, but what, by the grace of God, you can overcome. God will not put any more on us than we can bear. Amen. I've been a few times I thought that's what I thought about as far as I could go. I remember a preacher by the name of Brother Ed Ballew, I listened to and used to have him come to preach revivals and meetings. And he had come to the church and he was preaching. And I don't know where he was in our church at that time or another church. But I heard him preach. And he said his wife had gotten sick. And she was at the point of death. And didn't think she was going to live. And she was in intensive care. And he go over and spend time and with her. Pray and pray and ask everybody to pray, but it looked like she's getting worse and worse, and she's at the point of death, and he just believed it was just any time. Said he, going down the road, stopped on the side of the road, went down to the old river got down on the old bridge right where it was and said he just got down on his hands and knees and just began to cry out to God. And he said, I actually didn't even know how to pray. He just said, I said, Oh God. Said, God knew what I was talking about. He said, I just kept saying, Oh God. And he said, I prayed there and poured my heart out, got in the car and went back to the house and went back down to the hospital later, and she was improving and looked like as much difference as daylight and dark, and God raised her up. So there's times that he had come as far as he thought he could go, and I've come as far as I could go, but I called on God, and God was right there. I'll tell you right now, God wants his children to be blessed. He wants us to be happy. God wants us to have the best that we could have. And you know what happened? We fight his hand. We don't want that. We don't want that. We want to do it our way. We've got our own ideas about what we ought to have and what we ought to do. But I give God the glory this morning. So Paul said, he said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Amen. In other words, I feel like I don't want nothing else to eat. Now I'm starving to death. Paul said, I've learned that. He said, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I know what it is to have my pocket full of money, and I know how it is to be broke. I know how it is to have good health, and I know how it is not to have any health. I know how it is to have good friends, and I know how it is to have no friends. And he said, whatever it is, whatever state that I'm in, I've learned. I wish I could learn that. I'm working on it, but amen, it ain't working yet. All of it. Amen. I get to thinking, now I do know this, if I got to thinking on good things, heavenly things, spiritual things, true things, honest things, as he said here in this scripture, it does start changing things. Amen. Sometimes I get my own little pity party. Elijah had one of them. He said, I'm the only one around, Lord. Why, these people all around me, they're falling right and left like flies. And I'm the only one. I'm the only man on the first face of the earth that's still standing true and standing good. And God said, all right, I've got 7,000 down yonder that ain't bowed a knee to Baal yet. You're just one among them, Elijah. You're just one among them. Brother, when you think sometimes you're facing it, and you're all alone and face it, there's others that's facing that too. Maybe even worse than what you've got. And God knows how to take us through it. I do give God the praise. Now, look at verse 13. One of the most used scriptures in my life, and I'm sure in yours as well. And this is one that I've taught my children, my wife's taught the children, how to trust and look at this. This is one that we can, they'll say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And here's what the Lord tells us, and we've used it, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now sometimes I've had to face things and do things and I had to pay attention to it, and I wondered how I was going to do it. I was wondering how it was going to happen. And guess what? Hey, I just kept praying and seeking, and God said, I can do all things. Now the key is the next words. Through Christ. Amen. Which strengthened me. Now, if you want to take that out and look at it right or wrong and look at this scripture, he said, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. Amen. Or just put a period there and I can do all things. I've boasted like that sometimes. You've done the same. I do all, used to as a young fella. This was my motto when I was a little young fella, and I'm talking about in my 20s and my 30s and even yet pastoring and as a young preacher. They'd say, can you do that? I said, I'd do anything you do. I made that statement for years, and I always had this little statement behind it. I'd do anything you do. I may not do it as good as you do it, but I'd do it. Had my mind made up. And I've always set my mind to doing it. But in later years, I found out I was boasting in self. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. I can't do it through my own knowledge or my own intelligence, my own physical strength, through my own abilities, because I don't have any abilities but what God gives me. I don't have any strength but what God gives me. Amen. And I give God the glory for it. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Give him the praise and glory. Now, the word strengtheneth. Look at that. It don't read, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Does it? Don't read that way. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You remember when we had a study a long time ago, some of these words, these verbs, it ends up with TH, and I've mentioned that just a little bit late, in the last few lessons and preaching that I've done. I don't know, it comes back across my mind every now and then. And he said, strengtheneth. That means he strengthens, and that TH means it's a continual thing. He not only strengthens me today, but he continues to strengthen me. See? So all my strength is from him. I don't have any strength outside the Lord. I do give God the praise, the glory, and the honor. And I do thank God for his goodness. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Take the Lord out of everything you do, and you're going to fall flat of your face. You're going to have a problem. And so you put the Lord in the equation. I can do anything that the Lord gives me to do. Now, there have been a few times that I've had to do certain things, maybe preach at a certain place or preach a funeral or have to, you know, take a stand on some issue in the church. And I've laid in the bed at night and said, Lord, I'd rather just about take a beating as to go do this. I'm not talking about preaching funerals, those things, but take a beating is to have to face this issue. And Lord, I don't want to do something. And this scripture always comes to my mind. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I found out if you ever put forth the effort to do something God's told you to do, you won't have no trouble with it. God will give you the strength to do it. Amen. And it'll work out better than you thought it could. You can sit down and try to figure it out and you have to figure out how to dot the I's and cross the T's or cross the T's and dot the I's, whichever way you want to say it. And you mess up. But if you let God do it, he'll come out. Amen and amen. And it'll help somebody. Well, I appreciate what God does. And then Paul comes along again in verse number 14. He said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. We don't have time to get into this one, but there's a good bit right here. And he said, notwithstanding, ye have well done. He's commending the people at Philippi. He already has done that down in previous verses. We come across it a while ago. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Because he said up there that they were also careful. But they lacked opportunity. They had fixed him, helped him to be flourished. And God has blessed them. So these people here were doing well. And he said that you communicate with my affliction. In other words, they could talk about it. They understood. Communicate means that they were involved. It means that they were associated with it. And we're going to hold up right there and go further into this thing and try to finish this chapter. I thought we might do it today, but not going to make it. But we do thank God for this letter that's written to the Philippian believers. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer, being able to call on your name. Thank you, Father, that we can lift and exalt and magnify your name above all names, because at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Thank you for the grace, the goodness, and the mercy of God as we come to the house of the Lord today. In Jesus' name we pray.